carries. In his post on Altora this week, Yisachar Friend says, if we look this week's parasha, the Akel Pikudei, and he says, we have five parashas, the last five in Shmos, that seem to go on and on and on about the Mishkan and all that's in it. And he says, we know that oftentimes we learn things from a letter, right, in the Torah, or two letters side by side. Why this great detail? And he says, I want to ask you something else, he says. We have a Kabbalah that the third Beis HaMikdash is going to come down from Shemayim, from heaven. If that's the case, we're likely not going to be required to craft the Kelim or the Begadim of the Kohanim. And so why are we looking such detail at this today? And he quotes the Ramban, who says, you don't understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to express his incredible appreciation for all the great efforts put out by all of Klal Yisrael individually and collectively. They had done such a great thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to compliment them at the greatest amount possible. And he says, well, I'm looking at this week's parsha, and he says, can I find a take-home lesson? Is there something here that I can maybe suggest? And he said, and I don't remember who he quoted, he says, we had spectacular Mishkan. Everything that was in it, gold, silver, precious, diamonds, rubies, etc. And yet, when we come to the covering of the Mishkan, the outside veneer, what do we find? Animal skins. He said, don't tell me that Klal Yisrael could not have afforded marble or something like it. Why didn't we have like a golden dome or whatever? You know, just basically restlessly take, you know, away our spirit. And he said, he quotes Rashi in Truma, where Rashi says, you know why God required the animal coverings of the Beis HaMikdash? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us, Klal Yisrael, do not flaunt your glory. Don't make your Mikdash a place that outsiders will say, wow, this is such a spectacular thing. Don't grab their eyes away. Inside, where you're going to focus on serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, Keli ve Keli ve Anzehu, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I will do whatever I possibly can to make the mitzvos, the means to the mitzvos, gorgeous. Outside, no. Make it plain. Don't let anybody have a second look at it. Another building. And Rabbi Franz says, the commentators all tell us that this is actually a fundamental principle in Yiddishkeit. And he says, many of the great leaders of our generation have said, oh my God, why are Jews building palaces and golas? Right? Who needs a four-story 15,000 square foot house with 8 swimming pools and 3 tennis courts. If you're a guy, maybe a yid. And then he says, I'll tell you about something else that I didn't know about until now. He said, the notion of vachna, before the bris, you gather children around the crib of the baby. They say Kriya Shema, right? And they say Hambalach HaGoyel. I see, Mikorah. And we give out Pekalach. He said, it's a beautiful thing. Pure Yiddish and Neshama say Kriya Shema around the baby. And you thank them with Pekalach. He said, you know what's happened? He said, there are people who are now making $100,000 vachnach. They're catering it like weddings to singers for bands. And he said, hold on. He said, I looked at the notion. What is a father supposed to do the night before a bris? He says, yeah, vachnach is nice, but he says, what you're supposed to do is sit, say tillim, learn, etc., and the schus of the young baby is going to have his bris. He said, Torah never said, have a banquet. He says, why is this done? He says, why do we have this tremendous wasting of money? He says, people need kavod. One of the greatest Yetzer Haras. I got to show you what I can pay, what I can pay for. He said, you want to do something with $100K? Find that stalker. Give it to Almanas and Yesomim. Right? Give it to someone who's collecting for an operation, for someone, a child, whose life and death hangs in the balance. He says, the caterer doesn't need it. And he says, as a metaphor, he says, it's a medrash on Shir HaShirim, that the Jewish people were compared to almonds and walnuts. And he said, why? He said, pick up an almond or a walnut. And if you don't know what it is, you think you've picked up a piece of wood off a tree. If you open it up, you're going to find something quite tasty inside. He said, that's what Jews should be. Plain wood on the outside, pure on the inside. No desire to show off. They tell the story about Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin was one of the greatest. He founded Ezra's Torah here in America, and he was one of the greatest Gedolim. I know that Rav Yaakov, and I think Rav Moshe too, Rav Yaakov, I know, considered them their Rebbe. He was, as far as they were concerned, the greatest Torah scholar in America. While he was still in Europe, he was already considered a tremendous posek. And it says he was somewhere and he met a young yid. And he asked the yid, oh, Shalom Aleichem, how are you? What do you do? And he says, I'm a merchant. I have a small store and fine. And then as he was apt to do to many, he said, do you learn? And the person answered, you know, I learn when I have time. And he said, that's a wonderful thing. And he said, I hope you find more time. Who was he talking to? Who was this person? The person was the Chazon Ish, the Gadol, right? The Gadol Hador in his generation. The Chazon Ish had nothing much to say. I'm a Kleinika. I'm nobody. I just learn when I can. I do simple things. And he said, That's the greatness of the way Claudius Rowell can show themselves who they are at the appropriate times. We're told in the Pasuk, every man whose heart inspired him came. Everyone who has a generous spirit brought their offering to the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting. After Moshe called the people together and he urged them to give to the tabernacle, to the Mishkan, the people immediately began to bring in raw materials. It says, and the men came upon the women, al haneshim. Rashi says, the men came with the women. As if family donations to the nth degree. The Das, the Cain, and Balatosos have another interpretation. He says, the Pesukim reveal that the items given were various types of women's jewelry. The Das of Canaan says, and the women participated, were meticulous to give what they had in the service of Hashem. The Pasuk is teaching us that the woman undertook to give gold from their jewelry to the Mishkan, right? And the men had initially assumed the women would be reluctant to part with their prized possessions, and they somehow may have thought they had to encourage them. But however, the women gave totally willingly. Therefore, the Das Kanim says, women were rewarded, that Rosh Chodesh was considered to be a yontiv of sort for women, and they didn't have to work. This is broad, he says, in the Shulchan Aruch. And we're asked, he says, Yorachayim puts this as a mitzvah. Rabbi Franz, who's writing this essay, says, at what point in time did the women get this yontiv? They received this at the time of the building of the Mishkan, when he says they distinguished themselves with their overpouring of donating their jewelry. The Das of Canaan says, let's remember that when the golden calf was being constructed, the men basically forcefully took the women's jewelry. The women had no desire to give to this endeavor. Now that there's Kedusha, the women said, now we want to give whatever we have. This is the appropriate place. And he says, the Medrash says that unfortunately, at the time of the building campaign for the Mishkan, he says there were many men who were reluctant to give money, while the women ran to give to the cause. The Das of Canaan says, because the Mishkan was set up on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it was this Rosh Chodesh that was the first time the women received this yontif not to work. And as a commemoration of this, they say it should be continued to be done. He says, what's the significance of Rosh Chodesh that it seems to be an appropriate holiday for women? He says he saw the Sefer Shemen Tov by Dov Weinberger, who says later on in the parsha, it says He made the keyar of copper and its base of copper from the mirrors of the legions, the many women who came to the Ohel Moed. And Rashi says, the women of Klal Yisroel used to use these mirrors to beautify them, right, to get their husbands into an appropriate mood. Moshe initially thought that if this is something to enhance the men's desire for their women, maybe it's not the most kosher of things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, wrong. This is the greatest donation. He said, these are one of the most, these are more precious than anything else. When the Yidden were enslaved in Egypt, the men gave up hope. They didn't want to have kids because they saw kids were being killed. Right? And they were busted. They will work to the nth degree. The women went out to the fields, beautified themselves, somehow soothed the wounds, the sores of their husbands, and persuaded the husbands to try to have children. It was these mirrors that created the children of Klal Yisroel. They were instrumental in the fact that there was young people around to continue the generation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want these mirrors to be used to make the Kohanim Kadosh, right? He said the women always had faith in redemption. They believed in the Geula. At the hardest of times and the greatest despair, when there was no future logically on the horizon, they continued to retain hope for a redemption. The women were the ones who kept the decree. Hello? When the men were feeling they wanted to give up, the women pushed. We've got to go on. We've got to have the children who will be part of God's nation. When the golden calf happened, right, the women didn't want to get involved. Now that they realized the Mishkan was being built, this great edifice, in which the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be felt, right? The women said, this is, right? This is the greatest gift we're being given. And they realized that this was important. They also realized, it says, that the effect of the sin of the golden calf was such that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would somehow constrict his Shekhinah to the actual Mishkan as opposed to being in the entire camp. Had the golden calf never occurred, Hashem would have permeated the entire camp, his presence. But the women realized the reality. You can't take back what you did. The golden calf occurred. And they said, you've got to deal with what there is. The men, right, being men, felt that somehow the Mishkan was not a spiritual height, but a spiritual compromise and dissent. They said, ah, look what we lost by having gone through the sin. And somehow some men lost their enthusiasm for the Mishnah. The women said, "You wanted to give up once before. We said you've got to go on. You've got to deal with reality and hope in tomorrow. That's exactly what we have to do. We have to make the Mishkan the most wonderful place on earth for the Shekhinah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu." And they said, "We're going to show you. We're going to give our finest jewelry to the Mishkan. We're going to give our most precious possessions because we really and truly believe in this." The Chachamim say, Rosh Chodesh is a symbol of rebirth, renaissance, renewal, the three R's. We were told Nisan is, right? Chodesh Hazeh Rosh Chodesh. We're going to learn that this week. This month is for you the beginning of all months. The word can be considered HaChodesh. It is new. Right? HaChidush, this renewal. The moon is the paradigm for Klal Yisroel. It goes further and further away from the sun. It becomes smaller and smaller, and we think it's gone. And for a few days, we see nothing. All of a sudden, Rosh Chodesh dawns. Oh, look. There's beginning of a crescent of a moon. And we see it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And in the middle of the month, it's full. This was the power that the Jewish women symbolized. And that's why they were given Rosh Chodesh as their own private holiday. Klal Yisroel at times is going to seem like the moon a few days before Rosh Chodesh, underground, hidden, not important. And then, all of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring perfect harmony, and the greatness of Klal Yisroel will once again be seen in the world. And the Ezra Hashem, we should all be zoifet to see this from Hey Rabbi Yomeinu, especially with the defeat of all the anti-Semites. Okay. All righty. That's today's shiur. Thank you for your time, and have a lovely day.
You too. Thank you very much.